Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, I don't know if anybody is out there listening. This is the debut of Clutching at Straws Radio. My name is Sean Meisner and it is approximately 12 o'clock midnight. Welcome. Glad you guys can make it. Well, we seem to be having some technical difficulty here. Hold on one second. Sorry about that. We are back. And welcome. And I hope some people are out there listening. Let me read a poem to you here. This is called Ode to Banana by Danger Slater, who will be joining me in about 5 or 10 minutes. Black sheep of the fruit bowl. Phallocentric witching rod, grocery stores, and jungles. Long and slender like the finger of God. The banana sits patiently, never intruding on my taste buds like an uncouth strawberry or that apple-bottom bitch, Granny Smith. Cat's eye of parfaits and yogurts. Banana, I sing to thee. You stretch across eras and time, connecting man to ape and back into the sea like a yellow submarine. Banana, you are life, semi-soft beneath your callous skin. You remind us that we're all mush in the center. We're all made of goo. You never push. You ripen, you peel, you slice, you split. You're my best friend, banana. Now, I'm going to eat you. And poem. That's Danger Slater, everybody. He is a writer who, I know it's from Facebook, and that's kind of the idea of this show is to kind of get into Facebook, explore it. That's a lot of how, you know, a lot of you who are listening know me, how I know you, how we know each other. It's kind of the undercurrent that keeps us all together. It's a very strange place, unusual. We create ourselves there. We create things. Interesting place. So anyway, I'm glad to be here. I'm a little bit unorganized right now. I kind of forgot about this show and till this morning started putting it together. So I've got a little cheat sheet here from Back to the Danger. And then later on in the show, we have Toledo poet Zach Fischel, who's going to come on. And got some notes about him, too, threw those together. And then I realized, my God, I signed up for a two-hour show, and I have no fucking clue what I'm going to talk about. So if anybody wants to call in, you could really help me out and kind of ease me here, ease me into this, the first episode of Clutching at Straws. Let's see here. Now, let me see how to work this switchboard. I was kind of given a switchboard here, and I don't exactly know how to work it. And my computer is acting really funny right now. It's kind of making me nervous. Here we are. Okay. All right. Bear with me. All right, well, let's get into it here. The first guest is Danger Slater. He lives in New Jersey, about 30 minutes outside of North Carolina. Like I said, the reason I got to know Danger is through Facebook, and I actually don't know what his first name is. Maybe his name is Danger. Maybe it's pronounced something different. Danger. Not sure, but he wrote a book called Love Me, and I actually used to have a Kindle. I don't have it anymore. And I downloaded it on my Kindle, read it in about 2 days. Excellent book. I'd like him to talk about it a little bit. Let's see here if I can bring him on. Hold on 1 second. Struggling with the keyboard here. I'm assuming this is him here. All right. Danger, do you got here?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How's it going, man?
It's excellent. How are you?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Good, good. I'm a little bit worried, man, because, like, what I'm hearing on my phone and what I'm seeing on the internet is all screwed up, so I don't even know if I'm getting through. Like, can you actually hear the show out there?
Well, I turned off my computer when I called in.
Oh, okay.
But I heard the show. I heard the show before, if that's what you're asking.
Okay, all right. Well, how you doing, man?
It's cool. I'm kind of like your tech guy here for a second.
I know. I'm completely I almost want to just erase the last 10 minutes and just start over because I came in bobbling. This is my first episode. I don't know how to work the switchboard. And you can probably hear it all over me that I'm just fucked up here trying to figure this out. I'm trying to switch tabs on my computer, trying to play a song, get you on the line, look at your notes. So do bear with me, man. Really glad that you made it on here, though, and thanks for coming.
Yeah, hey, thanks for reading my poem before. That was awesome.
Well, you know, it was actually one of those things. It's one of my favorite poems, you know, that I've had at Clutching, actually. We've had like 400 and some poems, and for some reason a poem about a banana really kind of piqued my interest. And, you know, when you sent me Love Me, it was a book that, you know, I didn't know what it was going to be about. And honestly, after I finished it, I'm still not exactly sure what it was about. But it reminded me of, it was excellent, and I read it really quickly. It reminded me of, and I think we discussed this maybe through text earlier, it reminded me of Awesome by, who wrote that? Jack Pendarvis. Now, is that a book that you read before? Okay.
Yeah,
and does
actually,
that have any influence on Love Me?
It actually did, because I had picked up that book. I had never even heard of him, Jack Pendarvis it is, right? I had never even heard of him. And, I mean, I was just at Barnes & Noble, just kind of like cruising the shelves and looking around and, I don't know, something about the cover had this little robot on it, and it was like a weirdly shaped book. It was all small compared to the other books, and there was pictures and stuff inside. I was like, yeah, and it was hardcover, yeah. So I just picked it up, and I read the first, like, page in the store, and I was just like, this is awesome. So then I took it home, and I read it, and, yeah, like, just something about his style and the way he was writing that book. Like, when I first started writing Love Me, it wasn't even intended to be a novel. I was just kind of, like, testing out a new style kind of based off of what I was being influenced after reading that book.
Mm-hmm. So you were conscious of being influenced by the book or kind of unconsciously and then aware of it as it was coming out? Or how did that work?
I was definitely conscious. I wasn't like, oh, let me copy this guy's style, but like, I was like, it was a different kind of voice, and I was like, let me try and write something in that same kind of voice or in a similar voice. I mean, you're always going to be influenced by things, and I mean, you know, this isn't the only book that is part of like me or what I'm trying to do. So,
right.
But the genesis of Love Me, this was definitely one of the books that kind of got that whole thing started.
Well, why don't you explain Love Me to whoever's listening out there? I thought it was a really excellent book. And, you know, I've come across a lot of books from people in the small press, and there's some that are very good, there's some that are okay, and this is one of my favorites. It just had something about it. It's a very strange book, and I don't even know how to – I mean, I read it about a year ago maybe, I don't know, 9 months. I can't even describe it, so I'm going to let you describe it to the listeners because – I don't even know where to begin, so why don't you go ahead and tell your book?
It's not easy for me either, because it kind of goes all over the place. And I guess the easiest way, or the general idea of the book is, it's about a guy. He's just kind of existing in this place that's outside of everything else in the world. Like, he's his
like
own universe, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he lives in a castle, and he lives by himself, and, you know, he's just older than someone could possibly be old, and he's just all by himself, and he's alone. And then a series of events kind of push him out of his castle and his comfort zone, and he starts questioning his own existence, which leads him on a journey kind of all through the world and different philosophical ideas and stuff like that. It's very like kind of segmented, the book. Like, you know, he goes and he's in this section and he's kind of exploring this, and then he goes to a different place and to a different place, and he's just trying to really figure out the meaning of life,
right,
and how he fits into it.
He's a really interesting character too, because he kind of comes off as the king of the world, kind of, or at least he perceives himself as being like the most knowledgeable, the most philosophical, the most amazing, you know, human, if he is human, that's ever existed. And at the same time, the title of the book is Love Me. He's looking to be loved. He's looking to, there's something missing in him. And he's kind of a dichotomy like that. I don't know if that's kind of how you intended to write him, as somebody with great hubris that really, when it comes down to it, was kind of a normal person. I don't know. How would you describe that?
I just like, yeah, like, I don't know, like, when you're making a character, I mean, you want him to be as, like, realistic as possible, even in a context as absurd as all this craziness that happens in this book in particular, but, like, his emotions and motivations need to be realistic. So, I mean, this guy is like this bombastic guy. He's totally in love with himself, because in the beginning of the book, he was the center of the universe. He was the center of his own universe. And when he realizes the universe is bigger than him, he's dealing with the fact that maybe he's not the center of the universe, and where can he like fit in, and where
right.
does he fit into all this if he's not the center? And I mean, just, I don't know about everybody else out there, but me personally, as I go through my life, I mean, there's, you know, you kind of approach situations like, I mean, you are the center of your universe, because you're the person who's kind of perceiving the world through your own eyes. But at the same time, there is a much bigger thing going on all around you. And I'm always kind of thinking about, where do I personally fit in this thing, and how important am I in everything around me?
Do you ever fall into the trap of, and I think I did this maybe in my 20s, early 20s, do you ever fall into the trap of thinking that you're really the only sentient being in the universe, and everybody is doing it around you as sort of a play, or as a kind of a, as a play for you? Have you ever fallen into that trap before?
I mean, I don't think I've ever like really bought into it, but I've saw that before. And even, and the thing is too, because you're the only you that's ever going to exist, and you're the only you that's ever going to see the world. So even the fact that not everybody, like, even though everyone might be sentient and having their own perspectives on it, you're the only one that's going to experience it through you. And when that's done, it might be done. So that's kind of like, it's kind of like the same thing, I guess.
Yeah. I kind of had a period in my life where I thought I was, you know what, actually, I don't want to go into that at all right now.
No.
Let's talk about, I really don't want to go back there. Let's talk about, now, who published Love Me?
Who published it, did you say?
Yeah, who published it?
Oh, that was Jersey Devil Press. The dude who was running it, he doesn't run the magazine anymore, but he still handles the books and stuff. His name's Eric Gumney. He's an awesome writer, too. And, he helped me edit it, and he kind of, put it out and got this whole thing going for me.
Well, why don't you tell me, I also see here that you've got the Rooster Republic Press's Tall Tales with Short Cocks, which is a great title, by the way. Now, what's that?
That's, Rooster Republic Press is another indie press, and they do kind of an anthology. They just put out their third one. The anthology is called Tall Tales with Short Cocks. And they just put out their third one. I was in the second one, but, they're really awesome guys, and they have a really, the books that they're putting out right now are really funny and interesting and stuff. And, I'm actually going to have my next book will be coming out through them sometime in the next couple of months. We don't have an exact date yet.
Oh, so it's all set to go. And I know I saw on Facebook that you had at least a red ink copy of the first chapter, maybe, or at least the first page on there.
Yeah.
So it's all set to go.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the rewrite process, but in the editing process, but the stories are done. They're written.
Do you want to share anything about them, or kind of drop some clues about what's going on with the book?
Yeah, it's gonna be a little different. It's not really a novel. It's three novellas. And they're just going to be, packaged together. They're not related at all. They're three completely separate stories, but they're just going to be packaged together. So you kind of get like a three for the price of one deal.
Right. There's no thematic, thread through them or anything like that?
No, not really, other than the fact that, I'm writing.
You will then?
but that's about it.
Cool. Well, speaking of being a writer, I've gone back and forth. I'm not a host at all. This is, like, new to me. And I'm thinking to myself, what do I ask these people? How do I spend this time? And I came up shooting blanks, man. Like, I'm just like, I don't know what to talk about, man. This isn't me. But one thing I do want to ask, because this is something I struggle with, I've wasted hundreds, thousands of hours of my life writing. I didn't waste them, but they're unpaid hours. All the time editing, editing the zine, writing my own stuff, networking with other writers, countless hours for zero pay. I've been on unemployment. I've, probably should have been working at times when I was writing, and I wonder, why am I doing this? Why? I'm 35 years old. I started doing it when I was in sixth grade. Why am I still doing this? I don't have that book out there that's, making me a salary, supporting my family. Why am I writing? So my question to you, why the hell are you writing?
It's funny you say all that too, because I'm kind of like, I'm the same thing with me too. I have a hard time. I've gotten like fired from my past couple jobs, and I was unemployed too. And, the only thing that ever remains constant for me through everything is this need to like kind of create and want to create. And it's difficult. I'm not going to say writing is like an easy thing, but every once in a while, like things kind of click for you. And it just feels really good to know that you have made something for the world, right. And not even for the world, I mean, for yourself, that proves that you, I don't know, that proves that you're, like, there, you're worth it, and you know, this is something that you can do, and no one else can do. I mean, other people can write, but no one else is going to say the things that you're saying.
Right, nobody else wrote the book that you wrote.
Yeah, or anything, I mean, anything that anybody writes, you know, even if it's, like, a newspaper article, you know, like... I don't know. It's just like what were you saying?
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's like, there's like, I mean, I don't know how it is for you, but for me, there's just like this internal thing that just like kind of always is compelling me to do it. I feel like days that I don't write, like, I mean, I could climb a mountain, you know, like, and I would still be like, oh, I kind of wasted today. I could have like worked on writing a little bit, you know?
Right.
Cut out an hour here to do something. So, yeah.
Yeah, so you said you're compelled. I've always thought of it as kind of like as a compulsion, you know? It's a weird, a twisted compulsion in a way, and it's even more twisted. I mean, by what you say, if you climb a mountain, which is considered maybe the greatest feat that humans can do, and you would feel left empty, but if you wrote, you would feel full. That makes it a weird compulsion. You know, that makes it a little twisted. I think we're not right. Like, I don't think writers are right in the head. You know? Like, and something else that you brought up earlier that I'm interested in is that there's, I mean, do you feel like you write for you or that you write for other people? Because I've struggled with that. You know, my starting out young, I was just writing for me, and I would share it with friends, but I'd be really guarded about it. I'd be kind of embarrassed. And then suddenly with, you know, I had a couple things published before the whole internet kind of Facebook boom, but once Facebook came, it was like all of a sudden we could put our stuff out there instantly, and we could have hundreds of people reading it, and sometimes they do. And it kind of makes me wonder, it's kind of forced me, I don't know if this is true for you, but it's forced me to kind of face the question, am I writing for myself? Am I doing it to feed this compulsion? Or am I doing it because I need somebody to love me. I need somebody to tell me that I'm good at something. Do you feel like, where do you stand on that? Do you write because it's something that you need to do, which you clearly do. You said that's why you do it. But do you do it also because you need not need the attention, but you kind of need
the
validation?
You want like the validation or something. I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm not, you don't sit down and start putting words on paper going, I need to figure out the exact right way to say whatever I need to say to get the most amount of people to you know, think that I'm good at this. Like,
right.
At least I don't. Like, you know, I'll approach it like I have an idea. I want to tell this story, and I want to share it with as many people as I can so that I could get some fans or something, or some people to like it. Or, you know, maybe there's something that happens. Like, when you look at something that is a good piece of art, like, you watch a really good movie or you read a really good book, and then you feel this, like, feeling, you're like, there's, like, it's just a weird sort of, I can't even explain it, it's just, like, a kind of clarity that, like, that's something that good art can, you know, give you, and what I want to do is make someone feel that way.
I want
to give people that clarity that made me want to create in the first place.
Yeah, totally. And that's kind of, I am 100% in agreement with you. And that's kind of how I justified it to myself. Because when I've read a really good novel and you set it down, or when you're in the middle of reading it, you're just like, wow, like, you feel great. You know, you're entertained. It kind of strikes that creative, kind of strikes the artist in you. And just appeals to that side of you. It appeals to the part of you that needs to be entertained. You know, some people watch television. Some people, you know, ride motorbikes. Some people are compulsive sex addicts. Some people smoke pot all day, you know. But to read a book, you know, I feel like as a writer, and I would never say that I don't know if I do this for people, but it feels good to know that somebody out there enjoyed it. You know, like I provided a service. It's like a customer service almost. I mean, that's kind of how I justified it. You know, I worked at Starbucks once, slinging coffee, and I was giving people coffee, and I kind of hated the job, but I kind of liked it because I was making people happy. They would get their coffee and they would, you know, it would brighten their day. And it's kind of the same thing with writing. I mean, I don't know if, you know, you see it that way. Is it kind of like a customer service thing for you? Does it appeal to the inner part of you, the compulsion, but at the same time appeal to the part of you that needs to be justified? Does that question even make any sense?
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't say, I don't necessarily feel it's like customer service.
Right, that's kind of a
because then they're coming. Yeah, I don't think people are coming in expecting a certain thing. And if they do, like, they're a little more forgiving than if they ordered coffee and you gave them water. You know, like, they'd be like, what the hell is
right.
that? But you know, if they come in and they're like, you know, they see your book or something you've written and, you know, they read, like, the little blurb on it and then they get intrigued and I'm kind of losing my train of thought. They get intrigued and I got you.
And that's kind of why I wanted you on the show is that I was really impressed with Bug Me. I thought it was a great book. And it, you know, when I read Awesome, that was in my like top 20 books for a long time because I really enjoyed it. And Bug Me really kind of brought back the same feeling. I just kind of wanted to let people know about it. I see that one of my Facebook friends on one of the links here, speaking of Facebook, actually posted the link to your book. So could you tell people how, if they don't find this link, how they can get the book, you know, where they can look it up, check it out?
The easiest place to get it is obviously Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just type in Danger Slater. Don't type in Love Me, though, because it doesn't come up first. Like, there's, like,
okay.
a whole bunch of romance novels named Love Me.
Yeah, the Harlequin. You could beat up by the Harlequin.
Yeah. Or you could go to Jersey Devil Press's website, too. I think you can read, like, the first chapter through there, if anyone wanted to do that.
So what is your opinion, just as kind of, you know, I meant this show to kind of talk about Facebook a little bit, and I know that you're on it and you use it.
Yeah.
And I noticed that your name is Danger. I don't know if that's your birth name. I don't know if I have to pronounce it a different name. I mean, your name could be Steve. It could be Joe. Could be Carol. And part of what is intriguing about Facebook is that we have an opportunity. I didn't realize it until I'd done it myself, but we have an opportunity to kind of create ourselves. You know, I have maybe 60 friends on there that are real friends of mine that I've known from high school, college, maybe, you know, 60, 100 friends. I have 400 people on there who have never met me, you know, and I can be whatever I want to be. I can create this persona. And your name on, you know, being Danger, was that something, when did you come up with that and what was the thought behind it? Or was it like a nickname from when you were a kid? What was the idea behind that?
Well, I kind of came up with it. I mean, obviously, it's not my real name. It would be really, really awesome if it was, though. But, I mean, my parents are cool, but they're not that cool.
you can change it.
But, yeah, like, right before I got my first story published, which was in 2010, I think, is when I first came up with it. And I just wanted to kind of take on a pen name that I felt would like kind of encapsulate what I'm trying to do with my writing and something that would like stick out and make people be interested immediately without having to think about it and not even just be interested, but also kind of know what they were going to be getting in for.
Right.
Like, what was I going to say?
Oh, good deal.
I'm real bad at this. I always lose my train of thought. I'm like, before, when you were reading that poem before, you were like doing so well at it. I can never read out loud, not even things that I wrote, because I get tongue tied because my brain kind of works a little bit faster than like my mouth does a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So I always like end up losing my train of thought, or if I'm reading out loud, I'm losing my place. Like, I sound like, I don't know, like I have some kind of problem or something, like a speech impediment or something, if I'm reading out loud. Like, if I ever, like, had to, like, you know, read in front of a large group of people, I'd probably hire an actor to, like, play me so that they don't screw it up.
Well, I'm glad that you thought that I read it well, because I came in through the door stumbling. I didn't just stumble, man. I fell flat on my face. I couldn't figure out how to work the buttons. I was trying to talk, and I realized they hadn't talked in like 3 hours, man. And it was kind of rough there for a second, so I appreciate you saying that I actually read it well, because I don't actually know if I did. Okay, so how often do you get on Facebook? What do you use it for? What's your view on it? I know that pretty much everybody and their mother has an account. What do you do with it?
I mean, it's sort of like a boredom stopper, like something to do, but it's not even really a boredom stopper, because you go on and you're like, this is boring. Nothing's happening on this thing. But
mm-hmm.
That's why I like to make little updates. I try and say, like, little clever, funny things, or I share links to things that I think are interesting. And those are my favorite type of people on there, too, that do the same kind of thing, that either put something funny up, something to, like, make you laugh, or, you know, put up a good song or a link to some interesting website. But like you said, too, I mean, as I get older, you know, my social circle isn't what it was when I was 18 years old, so there's not all these people that I'm like, yeah, I'm friends with the whole world, you know, like,
right.
the people that are becoming my friends now are other writers, are sometimes fans, like just people that have read my book and liked it. I mean, anybody, I'm not going to not accept anyone's friend request. If anyone says it to me, I'll accept it. This isn't like my private little world here. I mean, I'm open to sharing it with everybody, you know?
Right. Do you feel that you have that there's a split? Do you feel like yourself if you're on Facebook? Because I don't know. I always thought I was myself. I always thought I was just being me. And then I had a couple people point out to me that in real life I'm way more boring. Like, I've just, as I've aged, you know, I've kind of slowed down a little bit for a variety of reasons. But online I've, like, got this new vitality. And it was kind of disturbing to me to hear that. I hadn't even thought of it. And it's kind of, I'm a little obsessed about it. Like, I mean, do you feel like there's a split between the real you and the you that's on social networks?
I mean, a little bit, but it's more like, I mean, I'm only putting up the interesting parts, because why would I include the non-interesting parts, you know? Like,
well, a lot of people do. A lot of people just put up all kinds of shit, what they ate, their bowel movements. I mean, they'll just put anything up.
I mean, that's good for them. I mean, that's what it's there for. It's there for whatever you want to use it for. But that's not what I would want. That's not what I want to use it for. I'm, you know, like, especially now that, you know, I'm writing and I'm trying to, like, increase my readership or increase people to just, not even my readership. I just want people to, like, pay attention a little bit. You know, it's hard because there's a million people out there trying to do the same thing.
Yeah,
so,
there are.
I mean, I kind of got to use it to, like, yeah, I know. But they're all like half my friends, so
right.
Everyone's just like, it's just like constantly like, check this out, my new book, my new story.
I know. Like, be honest with me here. Do you get around to reading all of these stories or these links to poetry? I mean, do you actually, what percentage would you say that you get around to these?
I'd say I do about maybe half. That's being a little generous. So the thing is, like, if it's someone I know I like that I've read their stuff before, I'll check it out. And if it's got an intriguing, like, interesting, I'll check it out. But if it's not, you know, kind of surfing the computer, you might not, or on your phone or something, you might not have the time to actually sit there and read it then. And then by the time you would have the time, you've already moved on to the next thing.
Right.
But
Danger, I'm losing you, man. I don't know if this is happening to just my phone or to you, or to the entire listenership. But you faded out there. Are you still there? Uh-oh. You sound like a robot right now. Uh-oh. Danger Slater. Am I the only one who can't hear this? Okay, Danger, I'm going to hang up on you here. Can you call me right back, and I'm going to pick you back up on the line. Sorry about that, guys. Danger, if you could hear me, if you can call back, I would appreciate it. All right, you're listening to Clutching at Straws Radio. My name is Sean Meisner. This is my first show ever. Don't know if I'm talking too fast. Don't know if I'm talking too slow. And we were just talking to Danger Slater, who, if you listen to the interview, he wrote a book called Love Me. I believe it came out 2011, maybe in 2012. Let me check here. From Jersey Devil Press. It's an excellent book. Check it out. Pick it up if you can. I am having some technical difficulties right here with the website. For some reason, the link to Danger's phone is just kind of hovering in the middle. So I'm going to go to a song here, and we'll try again when we're back. anybody can hear this, I am totally locked out. I cannot get on to the studio at all. No idea what's going down right now. Why the fuck won't you connect? God, this is embarrassing. all I got.
Irish Eyes Pub in Toledo. My boy Jake makes the best Long Islands in town. at least that I've had. So everybody needs to go at least and check it out. So I'm gonna shamelessly plug my my new bar. It's fun. Everybody that works here is pretty great. It's a really, really nice space. But new. So they gotta get the name out a little bit.
Good deal. So you're from Toledo. Or you're not from Toledo. I've got that you're from central Pennsylvania. But you
yes.
live in Toledo now. Okay.
Yeah, I'm
so
finishing
like
my master's degree.
Toledo's
a weird city. I hated this place when I got here, to be, totally honest. I was like, man, this city is just something else. But now I'm getting ready to graduate, and I don't know if I want to go. Toledo kind of, it grows on you. And I'll tell you what, there's some amazing artists here, and there's always something going on. And we have some amazing little restaurants. It's like a foodie's little heaven. Like, there's always somewhere new to go eat. All kinds of cultural cuisine going on. It's great. And we got one of the best art museums around, so.
Yeah, I've only been there a couple times, and I'm actually not too far away. I mean, I went from Michigan, and I came down there. My brother went to law school at Toledo, and, I came down there, I think, in 2011 for the first Zyfez show with, Michael Grover and Tim Dorsey, all those poetry cats down there, which I guess you're a part of. And it was a good experience, man. I mean, I kind of swooped in and swooped out and didn't really hang, but we went to we had the show at the Collingwood Art Center, I believe is what it's called.
Yep,
and
that's where
big
I live.
Haunted, yeah, man, big haunted place. There was a bat in there. It was some weird vibes going on. It was great. And got to meet a lot of these people who I've only known through Facebook and kind of writing circles. And I got a good vibe from Toledo, man. It was like it was a cool place. Oh, hold on 1 second, man. You're doing the same thing that Danger was doing. You're roboting on me here. Shit. Okay. Zach, if you can hear me, can you do me a favor and just call me back? All right. Sorry about that, people. I have no idea what's going on, but as the voice is starting to robot out, like my computer screen is starting to flip out too. I don't know what's going on. I'm having some trouble with this. So it hung up on Zach here, or it's trying to, and I'm afraid to play a song here because I'm afraid that's going to send the whole thing haywire again. I think that I'm on air right now. I'm assuming that I am. Let me try and play a song, try and get this straightened out again. This is really frustrating. Okay, I'm playing a song. I'm not hearing it through the phone, which is where I should be hearing it. And not exactly sure what's going on. Okay, I'm just out. Fuck. Okay, I am getting a little bit of something here from Danger. Can you actually hear me talking, man? Can you message me right now if you hear me talking? Because I don't even know if I'm on the air. Okay, apparently you can hear me talking. Welcome to this fucked up version of Clutching at Straws Radio. I'm trying to keep my patience here because, you know, I worked really hard at trying to put this together. And it's messing up. And I'm assuming that you can hear me talking, but I can't get to the studio at all. So I don't know if anybody's calling in. We're coming up to the second hour. And actually, there's a poetry event in Cleveland going on right now, which a lot of the Zyfest cats are down there, Brian Puget, Michelle McDonald, and a lot of folks that, in my frustration, I can't think of any names right now, but they were going to call in and give us some field reports. But if this, I mean, I can't even get the studio page to load up. I'm assuming that you can hear me talking, still hear me talking, but I am not getting anything coming through in terms of trying to get this page up. So I'm going to drop out here for 1 second, and I've got Danger and Zach on IM here, and if one of you could just tell me if you can hear my voice still, I'd appreciate it. Right now I'm going to stop talking for a while until I can figure this out. Testing, testing, 1, 2. Can somebody please message me if you can hear my voice? I cannot get on the studio page, so I can't take any calls right now or play any music, which is terrible. I don't just want to sit here and talk. So if one of you could text me or whatever, let me know that you can hear me at this moment at 1:03 in the morning. Let me know if you can hear me. Testing, testing. I think we have contact. Oh, my word. This has been something else, man. Now, I'm going to try and get Zach back on the line here. Zach, are you still there? Hello, Zach Fischel. All right. anyway, Zach, if you want to call back in, I got another caller here. Not sure it is who it is. They've been holding 217 area code. Hello, you're on Clutching at Stars Radio. Who we got here? Hello? Okay, let's just go back to trying to figure out if this is actually working or not.
Clutching at straws.
Clutching at straws.
Yo, my lord told you he was clutching at straws.
Clutching.
Oh my god, I think I got it to work. As far as I can tell, we are back on the air. And at this point, there's probably nobody listening at all in the universe. If there were before, I don't know. But as far as I can tell, we're back on. I'm going to play a two-minute song from a good friend of mine's band called The High Strung. It's called Raise the Bar. Zach, if you want to call back in, give me a call, and we'll talk after the song. Let's hope it works.
We knew we could jump. We didn't know how far, so we raised the bar, raised the bar.
listening to Clutching at Straws Radio. This is the most dysfunctional radio show in the history of internet radio. If you've been listening, and I can't imagine that there's somebody who's been listening from the beginning at midnight to now, but if you've been listening, it started out with me stumbling into the gate and not actually knowing what buttons to push and being kind of nervous and talking where my voice goes up just a slight octave. And then Danger called and kind of leveled out, and then it just crashed, just gone. Couldn't get it to work. And then it came back on after, you know, 10 minutes when all the listeners, if there were any, flew away. And I talked to Zach Fischel, who is holding, and I'll get to you in 1 second, Zach. And it crashed again. He started sounding like a robot, like Danger did, and suddenly it was gone again. So I can't guarantee anything, man. It's 1:20 in the morning, and I don't know if it's going to crash again. But if it does crash again, just leave, man, because I'm not going to go through this again. my name is Sean Meisner. I am the least successful radio host in the world right now because I have dysfunctional equipment. I have technological dysfunction, and I'm trying to make it work here, though. So let me get back to Zach. I was actually enjoying our conversation, and let me get him on the line here. Zach, you there?
I am.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I mean, I know it's not my fault and everything. At least I don't think it is, but this is crazy, man. Like, this is, I think, 3 crashes that we've had so far. It's just, I apologize,
right,
man.
We're still flying. We're still here, so
I know. And I was just saying, like, if you start sounding like a robot again and, like, it crashes out again, like, I'm just done, man. I'm going to hit the hay because I can't.
Grab the seat as a life jacket, you know, wear the oxygen mask.
Right. Yeah, I think somebody just sent me a message that said something about an oxygen mask or no. Well, close. Anyway, man. So, all right, we were talking about Toledo, and so, you know, if anybody is not familiar with your work, why don't you tell me kind of what you've got going on right now in terms of writing and what you're into.
Okay. Well, in January, I guess we'll start there. I have a chapbook that came out courtesy of Night Ballet Press. Diane Borzenek out of Cleveland made this beautiful little chapbook. So I have that now. That's like my newest real thing. But in terms of projects, I just recently finished a full length that I would like to someday publish, but we'll see. It's
what now? A full length poetry book or a novel or what?
Yeah. It's like one long poem. It's a whole book. So I guess that's a book length poem, right? I think is
right. Or an epic poem.
I don't know if it's epic, but it was the craziest thing I've ever written, so I guess that's
what is it?
Epic.
What's going on with it? Like, how long is it? What's the story behind it? It's kind of interesting that you're actually able to dedicate yourself to that.
It's a sonnet sequence, and then they sort of all, I guess, interconnect with one another. It's weird. They sort of speak to one another, and then a couple of different themes bounce throughout at various points. I don't know. That's the best I can do, except the title I can tell you is Windsock Etiquette.
Windsock Etiquette. That's kind of a cool title, man. So
we'll see.
Really,
I'd like to let it survive. You know, we'll see if it ever grows. But
so you can't tell me like any like subject matter or like what it's about, or it's just kind of random, or what's going on?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I bounce a lot of like wordplay around, so there's a lot of that. I don't know. The subject matter, it was a weird thing for me because I sort of just wrote it and just kept going with it and going with it. And then, so maybe it's still kind of speaking to me, so we'll see. But I bounce around a lot of interconnectedness between being in, like, the city and growing up in the country, I guess, is maybe one sort of theme. Because, like, you'll see a lot of natural sort of things, different types of flowers and trees. And then I'm talking about being on a subway train. But I said, because they all interconnect, they bounce at like different points to come back is the plan. That in the end, it all unites. But I don't know.
Definitely.
That's yet to be heard. But you can find some of them online. Some of them have been published in a couple of places. So.
Okay. So what? Like, how long did it turn out? Like, how many words did you get out of this project?
53 pages, 54 pages, something like that.
Nice. Wow, so that kind of brings, I mean, the longest poem I've ever written was 3 pages, and maybe the longest story. I mean, I'm working on a novel right now, which is up in the hundreds, but, like, you know, to write a poem for 50-some pages kind of brings up what, you know, I was talking about earlier on the show.
The craziest thing I've ever done, because everybody that knows me knows I'm not really into the long poem thing, so, yeah,
right.
It's a strange project.
So what's compelling you here? Like, we were talking earlier about what, you know, why write? Like, what makes you do this crazy thing that gets you very little recognition? You know, it doesn't pay you. It, you know, doesn't do anything physically for you. But for some reason, we just write. And we've been doing it for a long time compulsively. So what is your motivation?
At this point, I don't even know. I mean, I've had a really... I know, that's probably what everybody says. I mean, I've not even really been doing this, the whole writing thing that long. I just started doing it for fun, and I guess that's what I'm still doing. It's just for fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to cut back. I know it's National Poetry Month, but just because I have to finish up some papers, I've been trying to not read as many poems or try to write as much, and I still find myself doing it anyway. So I guess it's just at this point something I do. It's second nature. So it's kind of motivation. But
do you feel like it's a, I mean, I know it's hard to explain, and it takes a lot of thought. You know, I've thought about it quite a bit, and I still don't have any answers. But, I mean, do you feel like it's, are you doing it for yourself? Do you feel that there's any part of you that, like, is doing it for others? I mean, because I imagine with this poem or with anything that you write, you like other people to read it. I mean, do you feel like it's more for yourself, or it's more kind of as entertainment for others? I mean, where do you land on that?
I mean, I always try to post when I get something published, but at this point, I don't know if anybody reads it or not. You know, I'm trying to grow a lot as a writer and actually take myself more seriously and treat the work, you know, the way it deserves, but. Yeah, I don't know, you know.
Have you read it in public at all? Have you done any readings in public?
Yeah, I used to be terrified to read in public. But now I like to do readings, you know, when I get the chance to. They're always fun. And now that I got a chap to sell, you know, it's nice if I can make a couple of bucks or whatever. But
now,
yeah,
what's the name of your chap, and who published it?
Prayer Book Bouquet from Night Ballet Press. And you can find them online. They got a website and stuff.
Night Ballet Press.
Mm-hmm.
Good deal. And I actually haven't seen it, or you said it was just released this January.
Yeah, so it's pretty new. I'll post a link on my Facebook so everybody can find it then.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Now,
one
of the things that I was, I'm sorry, if you have something else to say, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I'm listening.
Okay. One of the things I was trying to do before this, you know, this program was just kind of got completely screwed over by technology was I wanted to explore, you know, your thoughts on Facebook and kind of just hash it out a little bit, because I've got mixed feelings about Facebook. I kind of have spent enough time on there to kind of know what's going on. And just as kind of an opening question, like, just in general, what are your feelings about Facebook?
I guess that's, like, your question about what I feel about reading, or when people read my poems, too, kind of. I'm just mixed feelings all over. Like, without Facebook, I probably wouldn't have anything published, you know, for sure. Definitely wouldn't have, you know, the connections and the friends and the people I know, just because, like, you know, now I got a whole set of people that I only know through Facebook. But then at the same time, sometimes I feel like... it's a major distraction, and I'm always saying to myself, I need to stop spending time on Facebook, but then here I sit, you know?
So, right.
It's like a weird vice thing, but at the same time, there's a lot of great benefits to it. You know, I've gotten to meet some amazing, talented people as a result of it, so.
Yeah, it is really cool how we've kind of all, like, you know, all these people. I was saying earlier that, like, I've had maybe 60 to 100 people that I know in real life, maybe a few more that are my friends on Facebook. But, you know, I have 300-400 people who are writers who I haven't met. I've met some of them physically, but they just exist on Facebook. And it's become, instead of a social, it's become more than a social network. It's almost become like a weird, I don't want to say circle jerk, but, you know, we all share writing, and I don't know if what we do, you know, and we all publish each other and we send it out to other publishers or whatnot, but I don't know if what we do and the influence that we have on here actually extends beyond the circle. That's kind of a concern of mine. I mean, do you feel like it's kind of an insider's club at all? I mean, I don't know how involved you are in it, but do you get that sense?
I don't know. The people I know seem to be pretty straight up, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I fear that. I fear that is a thing that can totally happen. And I think in a lot of communities that does happen, where certain groups will split off and divide and do their own thing. And maybe, yeah, Facebook does that at large, you know? But the thing I enjoy the most is when other people that are involved with magazines, either as editors or they run a contest or know places that are doing stuff, that's what I like the most, is when everybody posts stuff. It's like, hey, here, you could try publishing at this spot. You know, they've taken work in the past for me, or, you know, so I like to see that, because people are bumping their own work sort of in one way, and then also, you know, a new magazine. That's how I've found tons of places to send work to, was through that, you know, so...
Yeah, it's almost hard to imagine, like, what the world was like when we were all there, but what it was like before Facebook. Like, what, how did people network, you know? Did they actually meet each other, you know? Like, what happened?
Yeah, that's
what totally
was crazy.
Or, like, our
when I first started, when I first started to write, Bukowski was, like, the first guy I'd come across. Probably, you know, the reason I might have started writing, because it made me just think I could write about whatever, but, like, his story is just insane. All he did was mail things, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He mailed things all the time to everybody, and, you know, exponentially the internet's made that so easy for us. So I think a lot more depth. Maybe back then it took a lot more, you know, than it does now. Because it's just submittable button click now, and it's done. You know, you can send 1,000 a day if you want.
Yeah, I had the experience. I mean, I was writing way before the internet, and I was sending stuff out before that, and my success rate of getting, you know, accepted was obviously a way lower percentage. And now that there's the internet, you know, it seems like a lot more gets accepted, and it kind of makes me wonder, like, do you feel that the internet has kind of, and Facebook, and, you know, kind of everybody can have their own blog, there be an editor, you know, you don't really need any qualifications. You can be a writer just by using a word processing program, and, you know, if you have an email account, you can send it out. You think that's kind of diluted the quality at all of writing?
I mean, if I didn't have that option, would I have ever done it? That's a serious question I think a lot of people should ask, because I've never done anything without the internet in terms of sending writing out, you know. It's the only tool I've ever had.
You're not alone on that. I know that there's a lot of people out there.
One of my favorite poets had a book on technique and craft and stuff, and he said you can never hurt poetry by writing it. So I guess, you know, maybe it doesn't, I don't know if it's going to dilute the work, because I think the greats are still going to always be great. There's so many writers who never have, you know, gotten degrees or never done any advanced studying. They just wrote, and it was what needed to happen. So, I don't know. Maybe it thins my field a little bit, but I doubt it, you know, in terms of submissions and stuff. And I think it's good if everybody is writing, because then that means that this still is relevant, right?
Yeah. It's an evolution, in my opinion. It's evolved, and we'll eventually understand it, but we're kind of caught up in the middle of it right now. It's hard to really get a good hold on what is happening with writing these days, because it's totally different than what it used to be. I mean, the amount of things that I read from people that I know, you know, informally through Facebook or whatever, or people who aren't published by major publishers, is up 1,000%. I mean, I used to just read published novels, and an occasional local, you know, writer, I'd read their book. But now, every day when I open up my computer, I can read 30 poems, 10 short stories, get a link to an Amazon, you know, or Lulu, you know, self-published novel, and it's all there, you know. I can read so much. And there's some great writers out there, man. I mean, I was thinking about who to call for interviews, and there's just so many of them, man. And it makes me wonder, like, I mean, are these people, Are they gonna get deals? Are we gonna make money out of this? You know, are we gonna make a living? It's not really about making money for me, but it's making a living. If you want to be a writer, can you support yourself that way? Support your family? And I just don't know, man. I have mixed feelings. I really don't know how to feel about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm at the point where I know you can't make money off of it. So if I'm doing it, you know,
right.
I'm just doing it. Because I want to. But it's
right.
Funny, I have slowed down a lot about writing. I don't do it quite as much anymore. But, you know, that goes back to your question about if it diluted. You said you needed to ask a lot of people about interviews. We probably wouldn't. We don't know that many people that were writing, you know, in the early 20th or late 19th century. So, you know, maybe there were better writers that were just never discovered. So maybe now we're kind of gaining literacy in some sense.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, with the other question I wanted to ask you about Facebook, because this has become a little bit of a fascination of mine recently, is I'm beginning to think that I have a little bit of a split personality, and it was brought up to me, and I spoke of this earlier, but it was brought up to me by a couple of my friends that, like, I have a different personality online than I do in real life, and I didn't realize that I was doing that, but looking back, I had written some poems, and I wrote this story about recreating yourself online, just creating a whole new persona. Now, when you seem like kind of a real dude, like you just seem like what I hear from you and your voice and what I see online, you just kind of seem like you are who you are. So I don't know if you have this problem, but do you ever get the feeling that like you or any of your friends are kind of presenting yourself in a different way, creating a persona online that isn't really you? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I know people that totally have two different personalities, and I guess I should take it as a compliment that you think I'm the same in real life or on the phone versus Facebook. But I've been trying to be less of a douchebag on Facebook because I have to get like a real job, you know.
Right.
I'm trying to grow up as a person. So if, you know, if we're being candid here about Facebook, sometimes I say a lot of shit that I probably shouldn't, and that's, you know, what it is. So if my grandmother hears this, I'm sorry for swearing. You know, but that's how I treat my Facebook too, you know. I try to post less, you know, more important stuff. You can learn things instead of me just ranting or raving. I have a great friend who says you should never just post a statement. It should always be something. So maybe that's a role I should undertake.
What do you think he means by that?
Like, not just, you know, somebody saying, oh, I ate this, or, oh, I work 9 to 5, you know. Nobody cares about that shit.
No, we really don't. Okay, so, like, actually say something. Like if you're gonna speak, make a point out of it. Like, educate,
yeah, you know,
or
for the,
inform,
for the question
enlighten.
Or, I've been sending out a lot of, I've been sharing a lot of pictures of science things or beer things, because that's kind of what I'm into at the moment in terms of hobbies.
Oh, beer, you say?
Yes.
So, all right, let's talk about beer then, because I was a big craft brew drinker, and I don't know how familiar you are with craft brews around the area, at least up in Michigan, but are you familiar with Dark Horse Brewery at all?
Yeah, I've had several of their beers. I like them.
I live, like right now, I could walk out the door and be at Dark Horse in about 20 seconds. They're just on the other end of the block. And it's really sad to me because I love their beer. I think I went to the high school with the brewers, and they make excellent stuff, really well-crafted beers, lots of different varieties and whatnot. And the guy is making a killing off it. I mean, he started out, you know, just a dream, and they are, I mean, he is raking in the dough. They are really booming. And it's sad to me because I have a medical condition now where I can't drink anymore. Like, I can't drink. And it's just sad. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I'm with you, man. I love beer. I was a big IPA
man. Same.
Yeah.
I always fear having to go gluten-free. Like, that's a thing that I'm scared of.
Wait,
like
you have to go gluten-free?
No, if I have to, I said that's the scariest thing ever. Like, I can't imagine. I can't imagine giving up beer. I think it's my last true love.
Well, you eventually learn to replace them, because I love my IPAs, I love my Belgian whites, and all the beers in between, the stouts, whatnot, and I've had to give them up, and I've just replaced it with coffee, man. I just realize there's many different types of coffee, too, and I can just go to that, you know, and doesn't quite do the same for you, though, for your body. I don't know if that's good or bad, but...
well, you know, yeah. One thing for the other, right?
Yeah, so what's your favorite beer right now? What are you drinking?
Oh, God, well, PBR is what I have right now because I'm poor. but
That's a classy pour beer, though, right there.
Hey, you know, it is what it is. But, no, actually, the best beer that I've had this week that's out, everybody needs to try if they can find it, is Trogs Nugget Nectar. They're from Harrisburg, PA. That's an Imperial Amber Ale. It's super good. It's one of my all-time favorites. Like, yearly, it's in my top 10, so, I mean, that's
a great
beer.
Cherub Nugget? Like, if a cherub
trogs.
Shit, basically? Cherub Nugget.
No, Trogs. T-R-O-E-G-S.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to slaughter the name.
I just feel like Ben Hur would totally not like that beer. Like, you know, got to raise the chariots and cherubims. Yeah, no, it's a really hoppy beer. It's really, really good.
Yeah,
anyway.
I like the hops. I know a lot of people that aren't really into they can't take that, but I was really into hops, man. I thought they were, the more hop, the better, in my opinion. All right, man. Well, let's see. It's 1:40. Now, do you have anything that you wanted to read? I'm probably going to let you go in a couple minutes, but is there anything you want to read or share with us?
I can read once on my chat book and then go. I got an early day tomorrow, okay. So.
All right.
Just pick one of these at random. All right. We'll do this one. I read this for my friend Wes after a phone call one day. It's been a while. It's over lunch. Sometimes we talk over lunch and have a couple beers together. But anyway, it's called Telephone Calls About a Sandwich. We laugh between the wiggles of high-heeled shoes despite the strength of ankles. Day drinking between smoke breaks. We remember what breathing is as we unlearn catastrophes. That's it, just a little guy.
Nice, man. That's great. You know, can you read another one for me? That was a little too short for me. Uh-oh, you're roboting. Oh, no. No. Hello, Zach. Can you hear me? All right. The board is starting to do that funky thing again. Now, I don't know if anybody can hear me or not. I am going to attempt to play a song again. And if I can't get it to come through, I'm just hanging up. We're done for the night, man, because I can't do this again. Well, let's go. Let's check this out. See what happens. Not working. I'm out. And all of a sudden, we are back on the radio. And I've had to lose both of my guests tonight because... we have, it's just lost the connection. I'm going to play the opening theme to see if this is working. Hold on one second.
You were clutching that straw.
Yep, okay, it's working. Now, we have about 15 minutes left, and Brian Fuget, if you're out there, I'm pissed because you said that you were going to have this cadre of Cleveland poets who are going to call in all drunken and belligerent and fun, and for the second hour... And so far, I haven't heard any of you guys, man. I don't know. Actually, I don't blame you, man, if you guys gave up on it. I understand because, you know, it must have been hard. It must be hard to have to listen to the show when it keeps cutting out. But Danger and Zach, I really appreciate it, man. You know, this is my first time doing the show, and it's been kind of crazy trying to get it to work. And the time that we did get the interviews in, I really appreciate it, man. Danger, it was a great. Love your book. Thank you for bearing with me. I was a little kind of fumbling around there at the beginning of the interview, and the show was kind of screwing up. And thanks for hanging in, and sorry I dropped out. And Zach, again, great. You know, have to hit you up next time I'm down in Toledo, whenever that is, because you sound like a cool guy, man. So anyway, this first episode, is, I'm hoping that it's basically an aberration in a string of shows that are going to work perfectly for an hour at a time. And speaking of that, next week, by the way, there's an open line right now. If anybody wants to call in, 805-856-2808 and chat, we've got 15 minutes here. By the way, next week's show is actually going to be a really good one, and I hope we can iron out all these kinks. But I got my boy J.D. Nelson coming in to speak with me, and I'm excited about that. I've known him for 6-7 years now. Looked up to him as a young buck in the surrealist poetry game back in 2006, and got to meet him in 2011. And really excited to just to chat with him again. And also Matt Ronquillo, or Ronquillo, I'm not exactly sure how to say your last name, Matt, but he is one of my friends from the Haggard and Hallou website, which is a great poetry website. It was kind of where I got my internet start. They brought me on as a staff writer there and published like 20, 30 more of my poems, and really supportive. And Matt is also a writer on that site, and was really excellent writer. Both of them, JD and Matt. And if we can get these kinks ironed out, it would be really great if that show went off without a hitch. I'm going to play a tune here. We got a little Mad Villainy. It's just going to take a couple minutes, and that's going to give you guys, anybody out there, somebody, save my ass, call. This song is 1 minute and 52 seconds long. Save me, call. I'll pick up after the song. Testing. Oh man, Blog Talk, you're killing me here. It's kind of interesting just to sit here and talk into the phone, assuming that anybody can hear me. I'm maybe just talking to myself, and which isn't something new for me, but you know, I'm assuming that nobody can hear me talk right now, so maybe I'm just going to share all my deepest secrets, or maybe not. But trying to play a song, it's not working. So I'm assuming that the show has just ground to a halt again. This is really frustrating.